I do. Yes, sir. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation. The apocalypse or apocalypsis is where we get the word apocalypse today. Most folks think the word apocalypse means a conflagration. It's not. It's an opening up. It's a revealing. That's what the word apocalypsis means, to unveil, to open up. And so in Revelation chapter number 13 and verse 1, he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Now watch verse 3. Then I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the beast, which gave power to worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is likened to the beast, who is able to make war with him? Father, bless this holy word now. Thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. The beast is shrouded in mystery. It's a composite being in verse number 2. In other words, the putting together of a number of different types of beings, creatures. But the bottom line is that these are all symbolic of what this thing really is. There's no question in my mind that it is a person, some sort of a personage, some kind of a living thing, and that it appears to men as a man. And so in Revelation chapter number 13, I believe in gematria, and I believe the number 13 is a bad number. I believe the number 6 is the number of man, number 7 is the number of perfection, and number 8 is the number of new beginnings. And the gematria of the name of Christ is 888. We don't just contrive this or create this. The Hebrew language and the Greek language, each letter has a numerical value. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, and on it goes. Each one's worth is 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 and so forth. The name of Jesus in Greek is 888. New beginning, new beginning, new beginning. What you have here is an antichrist. You have an antichrist set not only against Christ, but set in contradistinction to the true Christ. He's a false Christ. Now the Apostle Paul said, if they come preaching another Jesus, and there is another Jesus, and you're hearing a lot about him today. So we have a contrast between the two. And my friend, this is where we get in today. I don't know if you know this or not, but there is such a thing called an Agenda 2030. There's also a thing called the Great Reset. I would be remiss this morning if I didn't warn you of this, because I'm a pastor, and according to the scriptures in Hebrews, he says, I watch for your souls. And I have to give an account for that, and I have to answer to God for that. So it behooves me to give forth what I'm going to give you today. A lot of this, I don't like it, but I want to end and I don't like it. I'll end and I like it. Amen. I mean, there's going to be hope. He's called the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Lord Jesus Christ is called not only the Savior, but he's the hope. And we're looking forward to that. But the Agenda 2030, according to the Prime Minister of Hungary, and his name is Viktor Orban. And he's quite a man. He's hated or loved. Depends on which side you're on. But he's made a statement that the UN agenda is nothing, 2030, is nothing less than global government tyranny that enslaves all humanity, while calling the scheme sustainable development and equality. Now keep that in mind. This is what a smart man said. He's not an American. He's a Hungarian Prime Minister, Viktor Orban. Agenda 2030, at the end of more than an hour-long speech, Prime Minister Orban tries to warn citizens of the World Economic Forum's Great Reset and the United Nations parallel Agenda 2030, was formerly called Agenda 21, the plan to transform the world where ownership is obsolete, privacy is non-existent, and their globalist organizations achieve complete control. Now look at Revelation chapter number 13 and verse 16. If you have your Bible there, Revelation 13, verse number 16. Here's what the Word of God says. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now watch verse number 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For what is the number, note carefully, of a man? And his number is 666. This is where we get the 666. Now here's what's important about this. This is absolute tyranny. He forces the whole world to his will. So how do you do that? Then you implement it. You bring it about. You go through the processes necessary to pull all of this together. And we, make no mistake about it, are watching this happen before our very eyes. Unless you're living in a cave somewhere in the backside of the desert, you should be aware that there's some things happening and transpiring before your very eyes, even in good old of America, the good old U.S. of A. You're watching your freedoms, the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. You're watching them being eroded through, it was called political correctness. Now it's cancel culture, and on it goes. And we're living in that. That's the atmosphere. That's the culture that you're living in right now. And they're not finished. They've just started. Because they intend to take your freedoms away from you and force you into this globalist economy, globalist government, globalist world, the sustainable world, the green agenda, and all that goes along with it. Now, their motive, I'm sure, is their motive in the sense that God's the only one who can judge the motive. They must think that they are doing this to make the world a better place to live in. But the bottom line is that it's fulfilling Bible prophecy. That's what matters. This is what we do when we read the scripture. They're fulfilling the Word of God. Now, here's something else I want you to see because it's important to understand this concept. In the book of 1 John, here's what it says in verse number chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, a lot of people have the idea, well, now the Antichrist has been chosen eternity past. It's going to be such and such a man rising at such and such a time. As I study my Bible, I get the idea from reading the scripture that a lot of things are conditional. And if you'll notice carefully, it says in verse number 3 of chapter 4 of 1 John, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is, now look at this, the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come even now already, is it in the world. John's telling us that for the last 2,000 years, there have been many, many, many men qualified to be the Antichrist. That's the point. And I want to make that point this morning. Because what that means is that the second coming of Christ is a conditional thing. The Lord Jesus Christ himself doesn't even know the hour or the day that he's coming. He's left that in the hands of the Father. It is up to the Father to tell him when to come. Now think on that. Think about what I'm saying to you. This is important. Because if you study the Bible, for example, as John the Baptist could have been Elijah, you realize that certain people could be other people. Certain things could take place that would fulfill the prophecy of something that is totally unrelated. This is the living Word of God. Amen. Amen. I hope I haven't confused you. I hope you understand the book you hold in your hand is inspired of God. It's God-breathed. It's God's word, and it says that there's going to come a man on this earth who is the Antichrist, but there have been many before him that have had the same spirit that he's got. But here's the key to it. How does he arise? We get a type of this in Solomon, and I told our people about this past Wednesday night. Solomon starts out very good, and he's blessed, and he has much light given to him. He's anointed of God, essentially. He writes 3 books of the Bible, at leastwise contributes to them. The book of Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, and the book of Ecclesiastes. And now if he wrote them or had part in writing them, that means that he had part in writing Scripture. That's important. Because if you'll notice as studying these books, you'll realize that the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, had to be written early on when he had been given the gift of wisdom, the wisest man. The Song of Solomon is a mystery book, but it has to do with love. It has to do with the love of God. And the Song of Solomon could very well have been written by Solomon, but certainly he's mentioned in the book of Song of Solomon. And still we're talking about love. But when we get to the book of Ecclesiastes, you get to a hard book. You get to a book that is written by a man who's burned out, a man who's full of vanity, a man who sees in vain. And the book of Ecclesiastes, therefore, they say, could well have been written by Solomon at the end of his life. Now, there's one thing we know when we study the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter number 2, when it comes to David, the Bible said the days of David drew nigh that he should die. He charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his way. So David, at the end of his life, was telling his son Solomon, serve the Lord. David was an old man, knew he was leaving, serve the Lord. In plainer words, the end of David's years of his life, these years were served in faithful service to God. That's how he died. That's how he left this world. That's David, but not Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter number 11, King Solomon loved many strange women. And the Bible says, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said, the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. His wives turned away his heart. Now, verse 4, it came to pass when Solomon was old. So there's a vast difference between Solomon in his old age and David in his old age. Now, here's something that's said about Solomon. Our folks that were here Wednesday night remember this. 2 Chronicles chapter number 9, verse 13. Here's what it says about Solomon. The weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. In other words, the number 666 is stamped on Solomon. Digest that. That number 666 is never set in a good context. That image that Nebuchadnezzar saw on the plains of Dur was 666. It represented the Gentile kingdoms until the stone cut out of the mountain smote it on its feet, and it was destroyed, and the wind blew it away. It represented the Gentile kingdoms from Babylon all the way through Rome. Now, therefore, God has nothing good to say about any Gentile kingdom, because the number 666 is attached to it. Keep that in mind. The Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Did you catch me? Upon this rock I'll build my what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He'll build his church regardless of what kingdom happens to be, and what king happens to be on the throne, and what Gentile power happens to be manifested at the time. That's exactly what he's doing today. He has far, far, far more concerned about the body of Christ than anything else on this earth right now. And he's building his church. Say, how do I know I'm a member? If you've been born again, you're a member of the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. If you've been born of the Spirit of God, how do I know I'm born again, preacher? The Holy Ghost is living in you. And if the Holy Ghost is not living in you, you don't know him, my dear friend. You may be full of religion and full of yourself and full of the accolades of man. You may be wearing all their badges. You may be big in your denomination. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, you've never been born again. So I said all of that to say this. Solomon becomes a type of the Antichrist. There's two phases to his life. And the reason this is important is because of where he comes from. Solomon starts good and then turns bad. And when you look today, think about what I'm saying. Look out here in the world. Look in the churches. The most dangerous place in America today, for the most part, is a church. The most dangerous place in America today, for the most part, is a church. Most of them will send you to hell. Amen. That's a shame, but that's the truth. Not all of them. God has his church, folks. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If that church is not preaching Christ and him crucified, the blood atonement, the virgin birth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, if they're not preaching that, that's not his body. I don't care how beautiful the building is. It doesn't belong to him. So Solomon, therefore, becomes a type of the Antichrist. What is a type? A type is a thing, a place, a person, an event, or something of that nature that points into the future, into the time of the New Testament, or past into this present time. It's something to teach a lesson, to learn a lot of truths from. So let's go back and see if the Bible is being fulfilled. Do you believe in prophecy? I believe in prophecy, folks. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. I do believe it. I mean, you know, my prayer today, and I'm serious as I can be. I say, Lord, if I'm wrong, show me. I love your word. I'm a student of the Bible. Teach me. I want to learn. How many times have I told you that no man, I don't care how arrogant he is, has mastered this book? No man. This is the living word of God. Until the day I die, God can teach me. He can open up my soul and teach me. And I want him to. I want him to show me from his word what he has to say. And so we have Agenda 2030 coming and the Great Reset. So what is it? Well, the Great Reset is going to change the world as you know it. The Great Reset is going to lay the foundation for the Antichrist. It's going to be this authoritarian, tyrannical government and leader, whatever you want to call him. He's going to take control. In order to do that, he has to lay the framework, the groundwork for it. For example, did you know that there's a war on your food? Do you realize that farmers all over the world, the Netherlands, for example, have been demonstrating against what? This governmental green agenda is coming in and they're taking their land and saying, you can't use this fertilizer. You can't do this. You can't do that. And so therefore, they're not growing the food they need to be growing. What happens? If you don't have food, what happens? You have famine. So therefore, the Antichrist says, you're not going to buy, you're not going to sell, except you take my mark. You can't eat. That's the first thing you have to have is food. And so they're laying the groundwork for that. Not only that, they have come out and said, let them eat bugs. How many of you heard that one? Bug, they say, is good in protein. I haven't had any lately. Don't plan on eating any. But the truth of the matter is, they say that you can take the bug and create all kinds of different dishes with it. Oh, yeah. Isn't that a wonderful thing? 2023, send men to the moon and we're eating bugs. But they're laying the foundation for something, folks. They're teaching you what and how to eat. And this is what they're doing. You remember in France, Louis the 16th wife. What was her name? Marie Antoinette. She was an Austrian. She said, let them eat cake when they were in the streets hungry. And so we had the Bastille. So today we have them saying, let them eat bugs. This COVID vaccine, do you realize until this day, they will not let you know where that thing came from? Do you realize that to this day, now folks, to this day, it is covered, it is shrouded in mystery. We don't know. They're not going to let you know. What does that say? That screams to high heaven that they're covering something up. We had 4-star generals come out and say when this thing began, this has weaponized. This is weaponized. It should not have the power that it's got. It has been weaponized. Well, if it has been, then there may be some more of this on down the line preparing people for what's coming in 2030. They're laying the groundwork for it. Oh, yeah. How about de-energizing Europe? How about taking the power of natural gas and oil? What did Mr. Biden do when the first thing he began to do was sign these executive orders when he came into office? What did he do? He shut down the oil industry, shut down natural gas for what? The green agenda. We're going to have the light. We're going to have the wind. We're going to have this and that. But what has it done? How many of you know how much a gallon of gas costs? But here's the point. They're laying the groundwork to control every aspect of your life. Every part of it, folks. When it's all put together and you see the big picture, you begin to understand there's something really going on. Yes, there is. One said, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Well, most people don't have anything anyway, but they're not all that happy. But this is what they plan. You see, you're not really going to own anything. You'll be a client of the state. The state becomes the great thing to live for. There are people in this country that think that the state is the greatest thing on this earth. Let me tell you something. The Church of God is the greatest thing on this earth, and it is a spiritual entity, and you don't come into it with brick and mortar. You walk into it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and once you're ever in that church, nothing else even matters compared to the Church of the Living God. Amen. 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 Social credit scores. Do you know what's going on in China? Do you realize that in China they have a sliding scale that if you're good, you can borrow money. If you're not good, you can't borrow money. And therefore, the worse you are, then the less money you can have. And of course, it feeds itself and down you go. What's the point? The point is that they want to make you a client of the state. That's the whole point. You're going to live your life now in service to the state, not God. They're going to drive God out. They're going to get rid of him. The first thing Mao Zedong did was get rid of the Bible. The first thing that the communists did, get rid of the Bible. Why the Bible? Because the Bible will make you free. Amen. It will, folks. And they know that. And so they can't. And so they get rid of it. So social credit scores. This is social control. They want to destroy your money. How do they do that? Well, one thing right now, it takes a washtub full of money to buy anything compared to what it was 20 years ago. It's called inflation. If you got $100 in your pocket now, that $100 that you had in your pocket now, if you'd had $70 a few years ago, it'd have bought as much. That's how much value it's lost. That's exactly right. Do you know how much a $20 gold piece is worth now? Think about that for a moment. But the destroying your money. Then there's the assault on the local police. Have you seen that? Have you noticed what's happening? Do you know what Hitler implemented when he took over Germany? He implemented a national police force. You know what he called it? The Gestapo. Oh, yeah. They'd drag you from your home at night. They'd lock you up somewhere. They didn't have a habeas corpus in Germany. Produce the body. Oh, no, 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 no. None of that. They locked you away, and you had no rights. And that may be on its way now. Watch what's happening before your very eyes. This is putting together. This is coming together. This is one big picture that begins to show us what's happening in our country. How many of you so far are following along with me?
Yes.
I'm not off here in La La Land, am I?
No, sir.
You know, I'm not on Hey Boy Corner, you know, dreaming. And, you know, back I grew up during the time of the LSD and the psychedelic. How many of you remember the LSD? Oh, yeah, kids jumping out of windows and dying, you know, killing themselves. They go off into this never, never land, psychedelic. It's called acid back then. Big deal, big deal. And now, of course, it's morphed into what we have today with the kids. And I'm so glad they've got a war on drugs, aren't you?
Yes.
Got to tell, loosen up a little bit, you know, tell a joke. What war? You kidding me? Kids dying. Yeah, little kids dying. No, there's no war on drugs. The war's on the people. But the bottom line is that it's happening. So Agenda 2030 is a blueprint for world government. Now, listen. Remember what I told you at the beginning of the message? I told you at the beginning of the message that this second advent of the Lord Jesus, this rapture of the Church of God, is going to happen. But it's going to happen when God the Father chooses the time for it to happen. And He'll choose that time. He'll choose that time. Now, there are those out there that are saying, well, if we'll just bring in the kingdom, if we'll bring the kingdom in, and with signs and wonders, why we'll bring Christ back. And you're not bringing any kingdom. There's nowhere in the Bible tells you to bring the kingdom in. It tells you to preach the gospel, and He'll build His church. Watch Kingdom Builders. Watch the Hebrew Roots Movement. Watch anything that takes away from the identity and the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch them. Now, there's a thing coming headed toward this planet that's called Apophis. How many's heard of Apophis? Now, this is something that NASA itself said, 2004, I think it was, they discovered Apophis. At first, they said this thing's going to strike the Earth. It's larger than the Empire State Building. It's huge. And it's traveling at twice the speed of a super, super rocket. What do they call them? Hypersonic rocket. It's traveling at twice the speed of that. And they say that if it hits the earth, that it will unleash the power of over 100,000 Hiroshimas. In other words, an enormous amount of destruction could take place. Now, in Revelation chapter number 18, you can read about Revelation 8, about wormwood. How many's read about wormwood? Now, when you and I, we believe the Bible, but verse 10 and 11, Revelation 8, the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the waters, upon the fountain of water, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, this may be a fulfillment of that prophecy. I'm not saying it is, but I am saying this. They are saying that this thing, now they've revised their white paper on it. They say that it will come closer to this earth than some of our own satellites that are moving around this globe. In plain words, it will come close to planet Earth. There are those who say that they can only calculate that so far that it is subject to changing its direction. So who knows? I don't know. But it's remarkable that this thing is supposed to fly by Earth in 2029. Isn't that remarkable? Think about that. 2030, how far is that from here? 7 years. 6 years for Apophis. They named it after an Egyptian serpent god, a vile creature. They did. And this thing is on its way. After a while, you have to kind of step back and say, now, hold on a minute. There's just an awful lot of stuff going on here. Yes, there is a lot of stuff going on here. An awful lot. Let me read something for you. I thought this was very interesting. Very interesting. German doctors are attempting to reverse death and resurrect humans. There we go. This is called transhumanism. Transhumanism is to take a human being and marry it to technology, and by doing that, to somehow or another through technology, to give that human being eternal life. One of the ways is to upload the mind, upload the brain into a computer system, and then therefore use that in the future, got the mind, you've got the person, all that into the future to create all of this stuff. Problem is, your soul and your spirit is who you are, not what you got in your mind. But think about this. Think about this. What if they could upload your mind? In other words, they could go into the depths of your mind and pull all that information out. That could be very embarrassing, couldn't it? To murderers and bank robbers and adulterers. And if they pulled all this stuff out, and here they are, they just read it like a ticker tape. Well, you say, preacher, something like that. Don't be. Knowledge shall increase, it says in Daniel 12. I thought a lot of things couldn't happen until DNA popped up. Yeah, DNA. Oh, I mean, good night, man. When I went to school, I never heard the word DNA one time. And yet they discovered it in the 50s. But think about it. He said to them when they're building the Tower to Babel, he said, unless we intervene, nothing will be withheld from them. So if you're hiding a bunch of stuff in your brain, I suggest you not go down and have a brain test run. Because you're liable to get in trouble, big time. Think about it. Think about DNA. You can't lie about who your child is. They upload your brain and you can't lie about what you did. Boy, what a thing. You talk about total control. This is what we're talking about, folks. And we're just on the cusp of it. This is the beginning. We're just starting, folks. We're just starting. Now, what's all that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means the Lord Jesus is coming back. That's what it means. That means he's coming back. Like I said, it's conditional. I don't know when he's coming. Nobody knows. Don't let somebody hem-haw you and tell you they know. We don't know. But he is coming back. I'm glad for that, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm so glad that he's coming back. I want to finish this message with this because this is important. This is very important. People don't get much of this today, but I'm going to give you some scriptures that I pulled out this morning on the deity of Christ. Who is this man? Who is he? In Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, that word person is hypostasis. Now, I've told you before what that means. That's literally the essence of God. So what is the essence of God? We don't know. God's a spirit, and we don't know the essence of a spirit. But that's who God is. In plain words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the very image of the essence of God. If that's not deity, I don't know what it is. Colossians 2, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Revelation 1:7 and verse number 8, he said, and which is to come, the Almighty. That's what they call the Lord Jesus. There's only one Almighty, folks. You can't have two Almighties. John 8:58, verily I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Moses said, what should I tell him? You tell him I am, hath sent you. Oh, yeah. In John 9:35, to the man born blind, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He said in verse 36, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? He said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. A lot of the new Bibles don't like that. They change that. They don't like that. I've heard him say from the pulpit that nowhere did Jesus Christ ever claim to be the Son of God. Don't say that publicly. Don't say that publicly. That's pure stupidity. The Bible's as clear as it can be. Amen. John 10. Say you of him whom the Father sanctified and sent in the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. The Jews knew what that meant. He made himself equal with God. That's who I worship. That's who I love. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I love him. I love my Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I live for. That's what I live for. You can be wrong on eschatology. You can be wrong on the church polity. You can be wrong on a lot of things, folks. But don't be wrong on Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Amen. He is at the right hand of the Father. And when he comes back, demons are going to scream and they're going to run and they're going to try to hide, because the Lord of glory will come back to this earth. And John, when he saw all that in the book of Revelation, got to the last chapter and he said, even so, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. What has to happen? I don't know. I don't know. One man out there who started right, came from the right people, all that. If this is to be taken as far as you can go with Solomon, he starts right and then somewhere he turns and apostatizes. And that man is the Antichrist. Then it tick, 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 starts the clock. Tick, 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 tick. And it ticks its way out. He's coming. Are you ready? You need to get ready. At an hour as you think not, are you ready? Are you ready? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd use what I've said this morning. Use it for the glory of God. We'll bless you and we'll praise you. I know there's a lot of people in here this morning who believe the Bible. I'm glad for that. They believe that he's the Son of God, but a lot of times they believe it in the head and they don't believe it in the heart. I pray, Father, they get it from their head and get it into their heart. They'd cry out to him from their heart and seek him while he may be found. I pray this now in Jesus' name. And the heads are bowed, nobody looking. Is there anybody in here this morning, raise your hand and say, Preacher Lawson, it kind of scares me to think that the Lord could come back at any moment. It really does. I mean, even though I think about it, it still scares me. Anybody, would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, I want you to pray for me. It does scare me to think he could come back at any moment. And he could, any moment. Anybody? Anybody in here to say, Preacher, I got family members. They're just as cold to this, as indifferent to it. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean they're far more into a ball game or to fishing or hunting or their job or whatever. God bless you. Anybody else? Hands everywhere. God bless you, folks. Amen. Hands all over the place. We all have family members. I got family members like that. Yes, I do. God bless you. Father, we pray for them. Lord, we had hands everywhere. Most of the people in here raised their hand. They have family members that are totally indifferent, just as cold and dead to this as they can be. We pray for them, Father. We can't force anything on anybody, but we pray for them. We pray the sweet Holy Spirit would come to them and speak to them and open their heart and open their mind and lead them out of darkness and lead them to Christ. We pray this in Jesus' sweet holy name, and for his sake I pray. Amen.